doing the Navi Yeshayahu. We're up to what's called the 30th chapter, the 21st Pasuk. The Navi is describing that a time will come that the people will return to Zion, they will resettle Jerusalem, and whenever they turn to Hashem, Hashem will answer. So it seems to be talking about a time that's yet to come. And Hashem will give you, you'll have bread and water, you won't be pursuing the other amenities, and Hashem will no longer be covered from you. You will be able to see Hashem in your lives. Hashem will be accessible and teaching us. And that's where we're up to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Yes?
I don't know if we come to address this, but like I said yesterday, about which period he's describing, whether it's which return, how do we know? Is that possible to address right now?
So I'm working off of the commentaries, and also I'm working off of two ideas. One is he's going to talk about what we're going to learn today. Still, he's going to describe prophets guiding us, and in the Second Temple period, we did not have prophets guiding us. And two is the other parts of the prophecy were not yet fulfilled. So then he must have been talking about something that's yet to come.
Did we have prophets at the beginning of the Second Temple period?
Correct.
Cool.
Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. The final prophets were there for this establishment of the Second Temple. So technically that's true, Moshe, and then technically you could say he's only talking about the first few years of the Second Temple. Doesn't seem that way, but we'll see, maybe. The Rambam, will already cover your other question. What Michael asked is, how do we know that Ezekiel is talking about the Third Temple? How do we know he's not talking about the Second Temple? Do we have a Rambam here?
What, like at the end of Ezekiel, when he describes like the dimensions and stuff?
Correct. So, there's an interesting line in the Rambam. Okay, I have to find it. Somewhere here, the Rambam writes that, I'm not used to this, is a totally different version of the Rambam, the setup of the page. The Rambam writes that if you look at what they did in the Second Temple, you see it does not match to what Yechezkel said. Yeah? And then you understand that they understood that what Yechezkel said was not a description of the Second Temple, but of a temple that was yet to come. Because by default, you take what Yechezkel says, and you take what they built, and you see that there are some things that are very, very similar, but then there are other things which are completely not what Yechezkel describes. So he says, from that we understand that they knew that it was yet to come. How did they know? Well, they lived a few years away from Yechezkel. Some of them might have even seen Yechezkel, so maybe they heard it from him. We wouldn't have known. The Rambam says, we know by default. So coming back to Yeshaya, okay? I'm not finding where he says it, but it's in a Hilchot Beit HaBchira, if I'm not mistaken. Where exactly I have to look?
It could be when we get rid of the mosques. It could be that we'll still build it in the Second Temple style, because we're not quite sure.
That's a great question for a Thursday night. It's a good question which deserves a longer answer. I didn't give you the full answer. Thursday night. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Ve'oznecha tishma'ana davar me'acharecha le'mor. The Navi is saying, at this time, you're not listening to the prophets. Even though the prophets are standing in front of you and rebuking you, you're not listening. Now, the word Tochacha, rebuke, comes from the word either vikuach, argument, or nachoach, opposite. You stand opposite a person and tell them, you're not supposed to go down this path. This isn't the way to go. So even though the prophets are standing opposite you, you're not listening. But in this future time, you will listen not only to the people in front of you, but even to the people behind you. What happens when you want to hear something? You cup your ear forward. You hear more clearly because we're built to hear what's going on in front of us. But what's going on behind us? Well, if you're interested, then you can try to follow that as well. So you will be interested in hearing the words of the prophet. And therefore, you'll listen even if it's going on behind you. You guys ever been on a bus or in a restaurant and there's a very interesting conversation going on behind you? Right, so suddenly you're very focused and you're trying to listen even though your ears are not built to hearing what's behind you. When you're interested, so then you focus on it. The Navi says you'll be interested. You'll want to know what I have to say. And then, oznecha tishmana davar, your ears will listen to what is said, me'acharecha, even if it's being said behind you, le'mor, saying the following. Ze haderech lechuvo ki ta'aminu. You're waiting for a prophet to tell you this is the path to go on, be it to the right, be it to the left. And ta'aminu is very interesting here. The word ta'aminu is though emuna. And we know that in Hebrew, the word yamin often connotes strength, and small in Arabic is weakness. So if the Navi tells you to the right or to the left, to strength or to weakness, you're waiting to hear what does Hashem have to say. Pasuk Chaf Bet. V'tim meitem et zipui pisilei chaspecha. You will defile. You will look at the at even the coatings of your silver idols. You will look at them as being defiled. V'et afudat. Masechat zehavecha, and the adornments. Afudat can mean the belt. Afudat can mean the adornments of masechat zehavecha. Masechat is a molten idol, zehavecha, made of gold. So you will look upon the adornments or the coatings of the different idols and look at them as being defiled. Tizreim kimo dava tzeitomar lo. You will distance them from yourself like a woman who's having her onset. You will say about those idols, get out of here. I don't want you here. This pasuk is quoted in the Mishnah in Shabbos. From this pasuk we learn that an idol actually defiles. Tizreim kimo dava. You will distance them from yourself like a woman who's having her period. So that's an allusion to the idea that the idols themselves defile a person when you touch them, just like a woman who hasn't yet gone to mikvah. V'natan mital zaracha asher tizrah et adama. Hashem will give you the rain with which you will plant the earth. V'lechem tivuat adama, and Hashem will give you bread, which will be the product of earth. V'ayad ashein v'shamein, and all the food that will be coming out of the earth will be fat, will be healthy, will be filled with taste. Yir'e miknecha b'yom ahu kar nirchav. Your cattle will be able to graze and they'll have good food to graze off of because everything will be with breath, everything will be healthy, there will be great produce.
Why do you need rain to plant?
Why do you need rain to plant? So, really you don't need rain to plant. But in Israel it's very hard to plow the earth. The earth is tough. And that's why in Israel, they would have to plow the earth twice. Once before they planted the seeds, and once again after they planted the seeds. So, if you want to understand the verse to mean chronologically, the rain with which you will plant, you can interpret it the way the Talmud says in Tractate Shabbos, that you need to soften the earth in order to plant in Israel. The earth is harder than other places. But in truth, the verse can also be understood, the rain that is coming for the seeds that are planted. Not necessarily the rain so that you can plant, but rather the rain for the seeds that have been planted in the earth. Asher tizra et adamah, doesn't have to mean chronologically you will plant after it rains. Now, why is all this relevant? Because, should I go into depth?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So the shul, you guys ready? Yeah. Focused? I know it's Friday morning, but you had coffee. In the task of Zoreya, so the Mishnah and Shabbos, I'm going to say this quickly, and those who get it, and those who don't, we'll revisit it, okay? The Mishnah and Shabbos says, Hazorea v'choresh, he who plants and then plows. Usually you plow before you plant in order to plant the seed. So the Gemara says what I just told you, that you need to plow in Israel before you plant and after you plant. So the term plowing in Halacha, in the laws of Shabbos, the Talmud tells us in Tractate Moed Katan, is lirapuye ara, to soften the earth. So plowing is softening earth. Planting is putting something that will grow. So far so good? Step two, if you water a seed, so the Talmud tells us that's an offshoot of the task of planting. You're not allowed to water seeds on Shabbos. That's like planting. So far, so good? Okay. Next, it says, yes, it's a tolada. Next, it says that people who relieve themselves, you're going for a trip, and you say, let me water the plants of Israel. Well, you can't do that on Shabbos. Wait, it says you could do that on Shabbos. Why? Because the acidic nature of one's urine is such that it's harmful to the plants. It's not beneficial, so there's no problem. You're not watering your fields. Along comes, so that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says if you need to urinate when you're outdoors, you're allowed to do so on Shabbos because it's harmful to the plants. You're not causing them to grow. So first thing you have to know is that 120 years ago, there lived in Tzfat a big tzaddik who compiled the work Tiferet Yisrael on the Mishnah, and he checked with scientists, and they said, no, it's good for the plants. So there's a big question about whether it's good or bad. But the second question that the Chassam Sofer asks and others ask is, when a person urinates on a field, so they soften the earth. So why isn't it choresh? Even if you'll say it's not zoreya, but it should be choresh. You're softening the earth. So the Chassam Sofer answers, because by Matzei Shabbos, by the time you want to plant, the impact of what you did is non-existent. It's not softer. You're not going to use that to plant, right? Okay.
It's even a temporary thing, then.
Right? So coming back, how did we get to all this? So you asked me about...
why you need to water it rain to...
why you need it to rain in order to plant. So here you see that even applying a liquid to the soil can also be a manner of plowing. From the Chassam Sofer's question on that halacha, we see that softening the earth by watering it can also be choresh. But the truth is that you didn't need the Chassam Sofer for that. You can understand it from a line in Tractate Moed Katan. But now we can go on, okay? We expanded. We went off on a tangent. Back to Isaiah. So things will flourish. We will be interested in the word of God, and the land will flourish. Ve'ha'alafim ve'ha'ayarim, the oxen and the donkeys, ayar is a young donkey, ovidei adamah, as they work the earth, belil chamitz yochelu, they will be able to eat grains, because there will be so much grain that you'll have grains mixed with the chaff all over the field, and the animals, as they're plowing the fields, will have that surplus to eat. Asher zoreh varachat uvam mizreh, because there'll be so much grain and chaff that you'll be cleaning it in the wind with the rachat and mizre. Rachat and mizre are two instruments that were used to toss the grains in the air so that the chaff would fly away. Ve'aya al kol har gavoha, and then atop all the high mountains, ve'al kol givah nisa'ah, and all the higher hilltops, there will be Hilagim yivleimahayim, there will be streams from all the water because there'll be so much rain. Biyom heregav, this will all be on the day when Hashem will kill masses of the enemies of Israel. Binfol migdalim, when the towers come tumbling down. So what's the Navi talking about? Is he talking about the war of Gog Magog? Or is he talking about the tremendous miracle of taking down the Assyrian Empire? So some commentaries want to say he's talking about taking down the Assyrian Empire. It's difficult for me to understand that because did they have all this prophecy? Were they all on that level? Maybe they were. And then we're not talking about the Second Temple period. We're talking about the First Temple. in the period of the reign of Chizkiyahu, the pious king. Okay, so we'll have to pick up here, Bezachem, next week.